Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hola, Rockaholics. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
KISW bringing the pain. Pain in the Grass 2017. That's going down Saturday, June 24th, White River Amphitheater. Starring Korn, Stone Sour, Baby Metal, The Pretty Reckless. You also see 10 Miles Wide and Yellow Wolf, our buddies in Radke. Two stages, 14 bands, one big show. Pain in the Grass is coming up.
Pain!
Yes!
I'm impressed with 10 Miles Wide because I want to say that was the working title for Aretha Franklin when she initially launched her career.
It was, and they agreed. She let them have
the name.
Yes,
and you know what? I'm not going to use it. Go ahead.
Get in on that Men's Room happy hour and a half deal. You get a beer with us, Men's Room Original Red Style. We'll hook you up with a sausage. If you've never had one of our world-famous Uli's sausages, man, they are fantastic as well. We have our own little private bar there. For an hour and a half, 90 straight minutes, the Men's Room happy hour and a half party. All the details on that package and all the great packages for Pain in the Grass at KISW.com. All right, it's our random question. We will take a quick break. Come back with more of your calls right after these.
Now back to the Men's Room. Here's the question. Brought to you by Tulalip Resort Casino. 99.9 KISW.
Your guess is as good as mine. Coming up, today's categories, tourism and gambling. We'll do that. Your guess is as good as mine right before the shot of the day.
You know, we had a question earlier. You asked what's like the worst shot you took to the junk. There's a Japanese water skier. Fish hits him. All right? Mm-hmm. So we just had a conversation off air. Like, do you have to go through puberty for it to hurt? Because I remember being six and falling down the stairs the first time. And so we got some text here, Ted. It says, I once got kicked, well, in my area so hard, I spent 2 days in the hospital. I was 8 years old. Each one of my boys, no joke, the size of a tennis ball. And then the other one, when I was very young, this is such a horrible thing to do. When I was very young, my brother said, quote, stand like this with your hands up in the air and close your eyes. Here comes a big surprise. And he punched him in the junk.
Oh.
That's
not the kind of surprise you're looking for.
Random.
Hello, Dustin. Random, welcome random, to the men's room.
Hola.
All right, Dustin, how are you, man?
Good, bud. How are you guys?
Doing good. All right, Dustin. Let's go with this one. How would you say you get your exercise? Whether it be daily, weekly,
yearly,
monthly, maybe you go on a hike once a year with your family. Like, how do you get your exercise? Because they always say, you eat right, you exercise.
I'm a carpenter, so I get plenty of exercise at work like that, but...
Well,
I really don't exercise.
You don't need to, though, if you're a carpenter. I mean, some jobs, like, if you're a construction worker, like, you probably don't also need to go to the gym.
No.
Well, I probably got to go to the gym, but I just don't need to exercise.
But I would have to think that just by doing your job, you're stronger than most people who don't do physical labor of any kind.
Yeah, but I'm a thin guy, so, I don't know.
That doesn't mean anything,
man. Have you ever seen a mover come and get your crap out of your house and throw a baby grand piano on their back? The dude weighs $1.45. Yeah, you might think he's on something, but really, he could do that even if he wasn't.
But he probably is.
But he probably is, and it makes
sense. But that's not why he can do it.
Don't ask him.
Right.
But still.
Right.
Okay.
Well, other than that, there's not a lot of exercise in my life.
Do you ever go hiking?
No, not ever. I was in Hawaii for about 15 years, bud, and I didn't hike one time.
Yeah, but what did you do when, were you at the beach?
Did you walk on the beach?
Yeah,
did you move?
Because you had to be outside.
You stepped out of your car, where did you go? What did you do?
You know what's funny is I got a story. You guys were talking about getting your bong out of a fire, and I got a terrible bong story.
Please share.
Yes, might as well.
When I was over in Hawaii, I was working for Kirk Hammett.
Nice.
And building a lot of stuff for him. And when they were having their first kid, his wife said, hey, no more smoking pot. And, he kind of, whatever. And he went on a show wherever it was. I think it was Prague or something like that. And he came back, and all of his stuff was gone except for this one bong. And he's like, hey, Dustin, man, hey, hold on to this for me, So I'm like, yeah, sweet, I'm going to hold on to that. So, you know what happened, man. Like, when you see that guy diving for a remote, you know, in the movies, when that thing's falling, that's about what happened. And I cried like Nancy Kerrigan when I broke that bong. But, you know,
I bet you did. I cried like Nancy Kerrigan. She exercised.
But I'm just saying, man, that was the worst. I was thinking, God, okay. Man, that bong. I wish I still had that.
So basically, yeah, in your life, you've never lifted weights, you've never run, you've never exercised, you haven't even taken a walk on the beach.
But you broke Kirk Hammett's bong.
I took some walks on the beach, but there was a lot of jellyfish out there.
Turn around. Sure, I understand. There's a lot
like
of goes out there.
You seem very practical.
I would have, but I couldn't.
Man, jellyfish. What's
there's sharks in that water. I would have swam.
But the sense I got from him was, I lived in Hawaii for 15 years. Didn't care for the outdoors.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I lived in an air-conditioned, lovely condo.
It's hot.
It is hot.
Jellyfish in the water.
It is hot. The reason we asked, how do you get your exercise? A lot of people do a lot. Some people walk.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do yoga. There's a gym in England that just created a new workout called Napercise.
Come on, man.
Napercise. All right, here's what you do.
I mean, nap and exercise together. I'm listening.
You go to the gym. You head into one of the class studios.
Okay. All right.
Then everyone takes a 45-minute nap. You also do some stretches before or after. Those are optional, by the way. So you stretch.
So the only exercise part is optional. The nap is the requirement.
You stretch first. You don't have to.
Right.
So and then
I don't have to exercise.
You go into nap mode, and then you wake up, and then you stretch. All right? The gym says the class, quote, reinvigorates the mind, improves moods, and even burns the odd calorie.
The odd
calorie. Well, wait a minute. Does that have anything to do with what they're doing? That's just taking a nap.
Yeah, but
yeah, they're taking a nap.
But see, this is what they've done, right? They understand that this is kind of a fraud, but it's not. If you said to the boss, "Hey, I'm going to go take a nap," boss would be like, "Dude, go back to your desk, get back to work." Hey, man, I got my gym membership. I'm going to the gym. I've saved money. If you get insurance through work and you have the gym membership, some insurance, you pay a little less. And basically, now you pay a little less. You don't have to tell the boss that you're a lazy slob, and you got a place to go sleep. I get it, man.
I bet you burn more calories than phone guy at the gym.
Have you ever done hot yoga, like taking one of those classes?
No, not hot.
Look at me.
That's kind of like Napercise for me, because if it gets too hard for you, they say just lay on your back. So, I mean, if it's an hour class, I spent half an hour just laying there.
On your
really,
back?
Man?
Yeah. Or
just
child,
sweaty.
Extended child pose, whatever.
What's the extended child pose?
You're just all the way kind of curled up, with like your
like in a fetal position?
Well, you're not on your
side. I
thought
that was down dog.
No. Down dog, you'd have your butt in the air.
Oh, so you
don't
have, so you're fetal all the way with your butt down then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's not really a position. Like, anyone could do that.
That's what I'm saying. It's part of the hot yoga, though. It gets tough. Okay. You go in the safe space, man.
That's the safe space.
It is. Damn. Or you can lay on your... Well, I prefer just laying all the way on my back.
Wow. Can you lay on your front?
You could. I think I don't know if there's a name for that.
Random, sweaty,
random,
okay.
Random, okay. Random, okay. Random.
What they call the child pose? Yeah, I think they call it that to let you know how guilty you should feel if that's the one pose.
Hey,
that you
everybody
hold.
In class is on a different level, Thrill.
Okay.
Just trying to get better
you're
every time.
You're child level.
Yeah, that's fair.
Hello, Josh. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, good morning.
Josh, how are you?
Good morning.
I'm doing all right.
Okay, just wake up?
No, I wish. That'd be great.
So this is still your morning?
It is until tonight.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Josh, have you had a lot of animals in your life?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely, yes.
What? Give us the story about what happened to your pet.
Pet. Well, I've had many pets over the years. My mom had a bleeding heart syndrome, which basically means she adopted everything.
How many, when you were growing up, what's the highest number of animals you had to coexist with?
Let's see, she had 5 horses, 3 dogs, a crud ton of chickens. I can't even count that.
Mm-hmm.
She had 2 geese, and then I think at that time she actually had a donkey and 2 goats. Yeah.
Do you know what the translation of that is, a bleeding heart type person?
Someone who doesn't know how to say, yeah, that too.
Someone who doesn't know how to say no.
Crazy.
No, yeah. Someone just doesn't know how to say no. They can't tell anybody no.
Yeah, and that's crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So what happened to one of? What's the best story about what happened to one of your pets?
Well, we got rid of him. Well, mainly because he became a hassle. But we got the donkey. His name was Amigo.
What was
at
his
an
name?
Auction. Amigo.
Amigo. Okay.
Amigo.
All right.
Donkey name Amigo. You get him at an auction. So far, I'm tracking.
Sounds like everybody's
yeah,
life.
I mean, how many auctions have you not been to with a donkey named Amigo available there? I could take this home right now. How am I going to get this in my Ford Escort?
That was actually one of the issues. We actually had a Ford F-250 with a top on it, whatever the frick it's called. I can't remember.
Sure, camber top.
Yeah, sure.
But you knew that before you bid on Amigo the donkey.
Yeah, she didn't think that far. She just saw a donkey and knew it was going to the glue factory. Anywho, that's how he ended up anyways. Because we couldn't keep him anymore, and he kept breaking the fences.
So
to the point where the four horses were roaming around the neighborhood, so he was...
The four horsemen roaming the neighborhood.
That's right.
Woo!
Death is coming. So when you get rid of Amigo, did Amigo end up in a kindergartner's glitter project?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really? I mean, do you send it like directly to a glue factory? Do they come and pick it up?
I wasn't involved in the details. I just know that was the end result because we were all mad at him. That's what happened. I believe
Wait. So your mom has a bleeding heart, but if you piss her off, it's to the glue factory, friend.
Oh, she pissed off my stepdad so many times. It was time.
Are they still married?
Nope.
Yep. That's yep. Okay. Well, by the way, I just thought of something.
Amigo glue.
If because you know horses make glue,
and right? Now you can mend fences.
But horses are also apparently delicious. That's the word on the street. Well,
what street
people,
are you walking?
People
down?
Who
what
have
street
eaten horse,
are you walking?
A street in Sicily.
Hey, horse steak is apparently a delicacy in a lot of places. Right?
I can believe that.
So, can you eat a donkey? In other words, can I get the finest ass steak? When I say an ass steak,
I want the finest
ass steak. I mean, I'm getting an ass steak. Could you eat a donkey? If horse is technically delicious, and they say, I have never tried it, I know it's not on the menu.
But I've
most
heard
places.
Of people eating horse. I don't know that I've heard of people eating donkey.
I haven't either. That's why I'm asking.
Is it because it's a barrier to say I eat ass, or is it because people don't eat ass?
Like, if horse is delicious, why wouldn't zebra be?
Because one's a zebra and one's a horse.
But they're close looking. Like, it's like,
yeah,
if I eat a duck.
The same.
Okay, duck, egg, chicken,
right.
Egg.
They
I can
look
eat a duck.
The
they're
same.
Close, but they're not, you know, they're same.
Right.
They're close enough.
But pig is different than boar, and they look like cousins.
Sure, but you can eat them both.
Yeah, true.
I don't know. There's got to be some reason you can't eat a donkey.
Is there a reason why you can't, or is it that people don't? Because there's
or have it, right.
There's a lot of animals that in theory you could just eat, but when most people agree, like it's just not
because it's a workhorse.
Like, people don't eat weasel. Like we could eat weasel, and nobody likes weasels enough that they'd stop you from eating like a weasel kebab. So that tells me weasels must taste like crap. Otherwise, you'd eat them because no one likes them.
And the reason that horses weren't really predominantly eaten here in the United States because they were a functional animal that people use for other reasons.
They were your car.
So that's the same reason why I'm assuming that the ass has not been eaten that much because it's a functional farm animal. The jackass, I'm speaking
of. Yeah, but
about.
Do people still use it?
Somebody's had to eat this thing.
I got to Google. Hold
How's
on.
Donkeys still work farms, dude. They do a lot of good work. They're just dumb.
I know that. Can you eat?
I want a big ass steak.
So I typed in, can you eat? Google has filled in, can you eat weed? Can you eat raw shrimp? Can
Put
you
in
eat
donkey.
Snow? And can you eat shrimp while pregnant? Can you eat donkey? That's what I'm putting in.
In the meantime, the reason we asked our question, what happened to your pet? The owner of that giant rabbit who died in the care of the United Airlines plane says the airline... It cremated her bunny, so she would never know the truth about how the bunny died.
They cremated it?
They cremated it without her permission. She says, quote, "The whole thing stinks of a cover-up." That from Annette Edwards, 65 years old. "I've been asking them over and over and over for the body so I can have him examined here in the UK, but they never got back to me. All I want to know is how he died." United claimed the rabbit was alive when it was taken out of the cargo section of the Boeing 767. The airline CEO, Oscar Minot, tried to apologize after the rabbit's death, but drew fire for liking the pet to misplace bags. This guy should not speak often. Either way, the assertion that Simon died in a freezer is completely false, according to the airline. Simon was cared for at the Pet Safe Kennel Facility.
He's dead.
Which is kept at a room temperature on average of 70 degrees. He arrived at Chicago O'Hare Airport in apparently good health.
O'Hare Airport.
O'Hare.
Well, he's dead now.
He was seen by a representative of the kennel facility moving about within his crate last time 11 a.m.
Writhing in pain?
Shortly after, a kennel representative noticed that Simon was motionless and determined that he had passed away. Then they put him in an oven and they cooked him. The end.
Right. God damn.
I just love how bold they are with these statements. Like, no, we cared for him. It's like, well, you didn't.
He's
died.
And right? He had gone to a vet like an hour before he got on the plane. So he's in perfect health and he died under your care. So you didn't do a good job. Now, yes, about donkey. All right. So I've looked this up. I'm going to read an excerpt from this article. It says, we have to admit it's impossible for us to describe how donkey meat tastes from a first-person perspective, since none of us at this magazine have tried to meet. But here's some information we found. According to Eliza Green's book, Field Guide to Meat, donkey meat is tough. But Laura Kelly, the author of The Silk Road Gourmet, writes on her blog that, quote, the meat is tender, sweet, and delicious. It tastes nothing like pork or beef. For obvious reasons, she adds, it does taste a little like horse. Only it's sweeter and more tender. They got a third opinion from Michela Peroni. She and her husband own a restaurant that I can't pronounce in Verona, Italy. And they offer donkey meat on their menu. She explains that the difference between donkey meats and other meats is that, similar to horse meat, donkey meat is leaner than other meats. Quote, the taste is somewhat metallic and something I can't say. To make it delicious, you really have to marinate it in wine and vegetables for days and cook it for long hours because it's very sinewy.
Okay, that makes it seem like you're breaking down a beef brisket or anything else, right. A tougher cut of meat. But you just got to cook it low and slow and marinate it.
Not only do people eat it, but apparently it's a sweet, delicious. You eat all the ass you want,
sweet
Miles.
Sweet meat.
Give me some sweet ass.
Want some of that sweet meat.
Sweet ass. Random. Man.
Yeah.
I would try it. Okay. I would try it. There's not a lot of animals I don't think I would try unless it's an animal.
Everyone just drop the line. Call back if you're on hold.
God damn it.
The only one I don't want to eat is snake.
I would. People do rattlesnake and all that.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I would eat the meat. It depends how you serve it, right? Like, to me, one of the more distressing things to try was the escargot. And not because I know what it is, but when they gave it to us, I'm like, oh, you don't even make an attempt to make this look good. Like, it is a goddamn snail. And then they're like, here's the tool you need to crack that slimy son of a bitch out.
I had rabbit for the first time the other day, and I was and my daughter just got it because that's what she wanted because she never tried it. I would never go and buy rabbit from a food truck, first of all.
But it doesn't look like a rabbit.
It did not look like rabbit, and I swear she didn't tell me what it was. She said, just try this. She pulled a parenting move on me.
Just try it.
Just try it before she told me what it was, and I tried it, and I tasted it. I'm like, it's really good. She's like, it's rabbit. I just want to try something different. I'm like, I'll be damned. That was fantastic.
What does it taste like? I mean, is it sweet?
It was somewhere between pork and chicken is the best way that I can describe it. So it was a white meat.
So every time I've had it, I liked it. I've had it like chopped up in little street tacos.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it like just like as a piece of meat.
Yeah,
it's greasy.
I was shocked.
You understand why like foxes and wolves want to eat them. You go, hey, look, man, can't blame them. You are a tasty animal.
But I think I would be willing to try more than I have in my lifetime up until this point because what the hell do I have to lose anymore? It's almost just like,
what
you know,
wouldn't you try? As far as it's an animal or an insect?
Liver. I'm just not going back to liver and onions again to see if it was as bad as I remember.
Avoid organs. Let's just go
say
to the
organs,
animal.
Right. Organs. I just don't want to eat
understood,
organs.
Man. Try an eyeball. It doesn't matter the animal. I don't want it. Mm-hmm. But I guess, I mean, like, because they're talking about, like, insects. And I've eaten, like, a chocolate-covered ant.
Sea urchin's grass, horrible.
But we've tried it. We've tried eel. Eel does not look appealing to anything on this earth, but it tastes effing awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess I would try pretty much anything now, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I think taco's the way to try stuff too.
Really? Think that's the way?
Yeah, you're right.
It's not a bad call.
It's in a familiar world.
It's braised all day generally. Right. Like it's been cooking in a pot, and then there's a little corn tortilla. Like there's some
you
safety.
You can't go wrong with braised. Yeah. Anything that's braised
that helps.
Like I will eat beef tongue now, but I tried it first in a taco.
I can't take the texture.
But does it look like? Just a sliced up tongue.
It does.
It does.
It has the bumps on it and everything. It looks like tongue. And it has the texture of tongue.
I always thought like maybe it was just a phrase that people used when I was a kid. I remember going to the grocery store with my mother and she's getting whatever in the meat department and they had it prepackaged, styrofoam container with the plastic over top. And I looked down and it's just a giant tongue with the huge taste buds. And I'm like, oh my God!
It's a tongue.
They literally mean a cow's tongue. I can't get back. Random.
And the tails are good too on an ox.
I can eat an ox tail. Random, hello, Nick. Random, welcome to the men's room.
How's it going, boys?
Hola.
How are you, Nick?
Hola. Pretty good.
Okay, let's find you a question here. All right, let's go with this one. Who would you say in your life is always, always late, all the time? No matter what. Matter of fact, there's your time, which is normally standard time, and then there's their time. Unless you were, in fact, this person.
I'd have to say me. I'm always late everywhere I go.
Are you? Like, is it? Do you know you're going to be late? Do you actually make the effort to be on time? Or is it at the point where everyone knows you're going to be late, so you might as well just take your time?
No, I try. I always just end up being late, and I have no clue why.
For school, is there anything that you were always on time for? Because it mattered.
Class. I'm on time for class every day.
Okay. And how about, do you have a job?
I do, yeah.
And does it matter if you're late?
I'm on time for that.
Okay.
Anything other than school and work, I'm always late for.
So the things that are important, for the most part, as far as you needing to be there or maybe getting punished, you show up on time.
If I'm not making money or I'm not spending money on it, I'm late.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Concerts, do you show up on time? Sporting events, do you show up on time? Does that matter to you? Because look, there's a lot of people out there who consider that a very important thing as far as, I want to get there by the first inning, or I want to be there, you know, I don't know, when the team runs out, or whatever the deal is. I mean, are you that one of those kind of people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I want to be there for the whole thing.
You basically just don't show up on time for your friend stuff.
Yeah, pretty much.
You care about your friends the least. Okay. I like that. Right.
Well, and that's basically what they're saying is, you know that guy, that girl who, if they say they're going to be there at 8:30, 8:45, 9 o'clock.
We have a friend who, anyone that knows this person, all of us agree, this is the person who no matter what will be late. There are no exceptions to this.
Yeah. They say here's the reasons. Here's a few reasons why people are late all the time. One of the reasons they did that they found from a survey, researchers were observing subway movers and workers in New York City. What they found was that people and workers who were multitasked with different things, had a lot of things going on, were late all the time for everything.
Well, sure.
They say one way to make sure you don't get too distracted is to set reminders on your phone, so they'll go off 10 or 15 minutes before you need to do something. The second possible reason they say you're late is your internal clock just sucks. Some people are pretty good at keeping track of time when they're doing stuff, and others just are not.
Mm-hmm.
So people with a type A personality, you're usually better than realizing how much time has passed than a type B. And a study had people try to guess when 1 minute had passed. Type A's were pretty close. They averaged about 58 seconds. Type B's, 80 seconds.
Wow. Yeah.
To give you an idea. All right. They say you can get better at it, though. One way is to guess what time it is a few times a day and then check to see how close you are. And they say if you keep doing that for a while, you should improve. Also, the
look
old
at
trick,
the clock.
Setting the clock ahead 15 minutes and knowing that that's the time. They say the reverse psychology is that eventually you come to the understanding once again that you still have 15 minutes.
Right.
And you go right back into the same pattern of your time adjustments.
What you need to do is sneak into their home and set all of their clocks without them knowing.
I think it depends, too, on, like, what you're going for, right? So if it's a sporting event or, like, a concert, I don't care. Like, I don't need to see the kickoff.
No.
I don't need to see the first song. But, like, I try to, like, tell, like, so if people are in my group, I'm always very honest. Like, you should go. Like, don't stand here and keep going, are we going in? Because it's risk, like, to me, there's no risk. I don't care. We can miss the beginning.
But if you tell someone you're going to meet them at 6:30 for a drink.
Sure.
You're in a 10-minute window.
Yeah, I'm just saying, when it comes to, like, sporting events and, like, stuff, like, I'm the worst about it. Because I don't care.
You don't need to be there on time. You'll find them. You'll get together.
Yeah.
It's just like you'll get there when you get there. If you run into another friend, you want to drink another beer, you're going to do that.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I hate that. Like, what time? Where? We'll meet you. Like, don't meet me. We're all in. We're all good.
I'll find you.
I'll see you when I get there.
Random.
Hello, Michael. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
How are you, Michael?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
Doing good.
All right, Michael. Let's go with this random question. What part of your body, all right, has someone that you've gone out with appreciated or complimented? So, it could be your eyes. It could be your biceps.
How about other than your genitalia?
Yeah, like what about your body has someone who dated you like, oh my god, I love your this?
I mean, besides the member, I'd say eyes for sure.
What is it about? Have you heard this from more than one person?
I have. For some reason, my eyes, they kind of change color with my mood. I feel like my eyes are like a mood ring in some way. So.
Oh, you're an insane, like, evil super villain or something.
Exactly.
So what colors, if I'm talking to you and I've pissed you off, your poker face says you're cool with my conversation, but, like, what color are your eyes turning if you're getting angry?
You know, I honestly don't even know. When I got my license, I had to ask the chick what color my eyes were, and she told me hazel, so...
You just wanted her to look in your eyes because you know that's how you discern.
Exactly.
Have you heard from multiple ladies that you have lovely eyes?
I have.
Okay.
I have.
And I guess multiple ladies have also complimented your junk?
Well, every single one, yeah.
Have you has one never said, like, could be slightly disappointed?
Never.
Sheila said it would
never.
Be better.
All right.
Yeah, never. You never know.
Oh, man. Okay. I've had that many, many, many times.
Oh, the disappointment?
Oh, my God.
Why would they be? I mean, looking at you, God. I think their expectations would be low.
I thought, well, yeah, like, exactly.
Look at
give
them.
Me a break, right?
What did you think you were going to see?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I thought, you know how, like, sometimes you just think the sex is real, real, real good? Like, you did a really knockout, bang-up job on it. You know what I mean?
Two different schools of thought. I thought that sex was really, really good.
Right.
Seldom do I think that I did a bang-up job.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank God she did what she did. Cause
that's a good point.
Man, oh man.
Right. And I got done. We got done doing our thing, and I can't remember how the subject brought up, but she was like, "Yeah, you know." We started talking about people we knew, and then she talked about the fact that she dated a guy that I knew,
mm-hmm.
and I also played football with this guy.
Okay.
All right. This guy had the biggest crank I've ever seen on anybody, and I knew right then and there that I did not do anything in that bedroom. It was remotely impressive. Nothing. 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 I mean, even if I did one thing.
It doesn't mean he knows how to have sex, though. Man.
I understand
you
that.
You may have introduced her to a whole new
you
world.
Never, but she didn't tell me that.
He just came in with it. Well.
That's what she would have said that. Like, you know what? I've been with a guy's a whole lot bigger than you, and this was tremendous.
Spouted your tiny penis.
I think her whole thing was like, hey.
It's okay.
I've dated such and such. Oh, you have? Oh, no way. Oh. Oh.
I see what you're telling me.
Oh.
Dude, it makes you feel any better. I've had that uncomfortable conversation. Because I was a little, you know, I still am. Like a little insecure, if you will, about, let's just say at length.
Okay. All right.
All right.
I didn't know. I didn't know if you're going to go girth.
Now I'm fine there.
Okay.
I just say it.
All the girth with none of the length. It looks like a spare tire on the back of a Jeep.
I mean, let's just look at body builds, all right? So,
like a tuna can.
I might have been talking about that. And one girl goes, she didn't say I've seen a lot of them. She was like, trust me, I've seen. You're fine.
Oh, good.
You're doing
good,
fine.
That's a compliment.
Yeah, but she had to cut herself off.
I've seen thousands.
Right?
I've seen thousands.
I've seen tuna cans.
Reason we ask to appreciate what part of your body. Aaron Moran passed away not too long ago from Happy Days, yes. And she had a show for a while there. She was friends with Chachi. We know him as Scott Baio. He made some really disparaging comments after she passed away.
Well, he's, you know, if you drink and do drugs, you should expect to die. The thing,
right.
First of all, those were her demons, but that's not what led to her death.
Aaron's brother, Tony, lit into Scott for making insensitive remarks about her death in the process. He said that Aaron told him that he had a really small little thing down there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So now his wife comes to the rescue and said, Scott has a huge penis. He can shut up. Yeah. Our question, random question, question style. We'll take a quick break and be right back with more of your calls.
The men's room returns. Here's the question. Brought to you by Tulalip Resort Casino. 99.9 KISW.
Our contestant sale this week on Profile is playing for a pair of tickets to see Primus at Marymore Park. We will do the game formerly known as Black, White, Mexican, or Jew coming up right after the shot of the day. In the meantime, it is our random question question.
Random.
Hello,
random,
Tim. Random, welcome random, to the men's room. Random.
Hola.
Random.
What's happening, Tim?
Random.
How are you, sir?
Good.
Tim, let's go with this one. Random question style. When did you not take your own advice? When should you have listened to yourself?
Probably when I moved out here from North Carolina.
Why is that? What went wrong?
I got divorced and, you know, all that kind of good stuff that goes with that.
And what was the advice that you gave yourself that you didn't listen to? That you shouldn't have gotten married?
I should have tried harder and, you know, did more for her.
Do you still think that way?
Yeah, sometimes. Not all the time. It's been, 20 years or so.
20 years?
Wow. Oh, gosh. Okay.
I'm kind of over that, so.
I hope so. Well, the 20 years ago, it's a different time in your life, though. I mean, like anybody else, you mature over time. What was the reason you got a divorce, if you don't mind me asking?
Difference of opinion about where we want to live, and she didn't like it here in Washington, and I didn't like it there in North Carolina.
Hey, no offense, and I never met the woman, and I'm sure she's fantastic. You are 100% goddamn correct. I've been to North Carolina. I'm not just throwing it out there in the CMC. I've been there. Depending what you're looking for in life, like life, I would pick a lot of states over North Carolina.
Yeah.
Which is no offense to North Carolina. It's just probably not the lifestyle I would want to lead.
Hot and a lot of bugs.
So wouldn't you say you made the right choice?
There are a lot of bugs.
I mean, honestly, wouldn't you say you made the right choice if this is where you wanted to spend your life?
Because look, even if you stayed together and you stayed in North Carolina and you disliked it, then you're miserable. You know, it's...
Yeah,
it's,
and if she moves out here, she's miserable. So obviously, it just couldn't work out because both of you want different things in life.
Yeah, there was no jobs back there at all.
No, there was...
She wants to be sucked dry by giant mosquitoes and be unemployed.
Was her family there?
Yeah, her family was there, yeah.
Okay, well, that's...
All the more reason to move.
But when you have those family people, man, you can't beat that.
It's such a weird thing.
It is, because there's two types of people. People who really like to be close with their family, and they want to be near them, and they love them, and they have a great relationship, and people that want to get as far away from their family as humanly possible. I love my family very much. I'm on the flip side of that.
Yeah, I wanted to get away.
Yeah, and that's all it was. I just want to see different things. I'd already seen it. I grew up there. I knew it all. You weren't going to change anything unless you put in like a new Carl's Jr. down the street.
And my biggest thing, even with just family in general, is just some people love this kind of thing. I'm not a person who's ever liked this or appreciated it. I don't need people worrying about what I do. I do not like people bugging me about decisions that I've made. It's called a personal life for a reason. It's self-explanatory, personal life. And it seems like anytime you go back and visit family, all right, because for whatever reason, families always stay concentrated in one area. Like, when you go back and visit, whatever the drama is, and there's always something, and I promise you, I don't care. Because I'm like, they're a goddamn adult. They made a decision. You don't like it. F them. Whatever. You have to go back and listen to this crap. So the whole time you're there, everybody's telling you what everyone else has done wrong. And I'm like, I don't miss this. I don't care. I didn't care then. I don't care now. I could not be happier to not live here. Just to not deal with this dumb ass that you guys deal with every day.
Yeah. I mean, I hate drama. The reason we asked, when did you not take your own advice? A shark lover who was devoted to educating and warning people about sharks. He was mauled to death in the world's most notorious area for such attacks.
Shouldn't he know?
Adrien Dubose died off of the French island of Reunion in the Indian Ocean just about 2 months after one of his best friends died in almost the exact same spot in the almost identical circumstances that happened when his buddy died.
Why was he back there?
Is he a shark expert or a shark lover? Because there's two different things, right?
He's a shark lover who devoted his life to educating people about the predators.
Okay, so he's not an expert because he went to highly shark-infested waters where his best friend was killed by sharks the year before, and he obviously has invested a lot of time to understand what makes them dangerous, and then he went there anyway.
He's a member of the Shark Watch Patrol. There's a lot of bull and tiger sharks in the area. Despite this, he loved to fish and regularly posted Facebook pictures of ones he had seen, together with biological details about the individual fish. He kind of kept tabs on some of the ones he identified. Well, just after 11 a.m. on a Saturday morning, he decided to enter the sea with his bodyboard off a beach where water sports are officially banned. Do you know why the official ban happened there on those water sports?
Because people like him, who've warned the public about the dangers of predatory sharks, said, man, there's a whole bunch of them here, so we should close this down because the very idea of you getting in the water puts you in so much danger, it's not worth it.
Like, don't feed the animals. Well, you're the food.
You know what? And that's entirely different.
It really is. A spokesman said the young man was in the water with two friends when a shark attacked him, biting his right thigh and his groin. Here's the problem, okay?
That part.
By the time they got him to the shore, and people should try to save him.
He bled out, right?
He was dead.
All right.
But the beach was packed. The beach was packed. Everybody saw this guy die, and it was traumatic. They had to send emergency workers, basically, to calm people down on the beach. So they sent like 4 or 5 people down there just to give psychological counseling to kids and all these different things based on the fact that they all just sat there and watched this tiger shark rip. It wasn't easy. He grabbed, he thrashed, he threw them. There's blood everywhere. He cut a major artery, obviously. Bled to death.
This is what I'd be angry about, that my kids are there. Oh, because, like, look, I wouldn't need the counseling. So I'm like, oh, no, I read the sign that said it's goddamn shark. And when he went in the water, no offense, I waited to watch him get eaten.
Right.
Why was everybody there again? Were they just there to see somebody get eaten?
No, it's still the beautiful beach. It's still the beach. They recommend you don't get in the water here because there's so many sharks in the area. But people still don't get their feet wet.
Play volleyball, throw the frisbee, do what you're going to do,
It's so well known that you don't go there. There was a mix of anger. Yes. And emotion when this happened. Like you dumbass.
You traumatized my kid because you're dumbass. And the sign's here, and you're the guy who's gone around telling people how dangerous they are.
Thanks.
Well, to be fair, I think he has proven his point now. I mean, no, well, listen. Yeah. He spent his life trying to show people the dangers of sharks, right? And I guess people listened to him or they didn't. They'll listen now. His ass was eaten, wasn't it? He has finally accomplished his mission.
And his friend.
Yeah. I'd be pissed off, too, calls on that beach.
Why did you get in the water, dummy? Hello, Ian. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how's it going?
Hola.
All right, Ian. I'm going to ask you for your armchair doctor experience here, okay?
Okay.
Whenever you're in pain of any kind, whatever the pain is, what is your routine? What do you do to get rid of whatever that pain might be?
You know, some high strength ibuprofen is always always wonderful.
How many milligrams do you take when you got a problem?
You know, I have some of the 800 milligrams.
So you're basically you're taking four individual ibuprofens. And that normally does work, man. That's the size that they give you if you get a script for ibuprofen.
Yeah, but I feel like the 800 milligram, like, to me, that's an ibuprofen. And otherwise, it's like you've taken an ibuprofen and you want me to take one-fourth of them sporadically.
Is there anything that you guys can stop without medicine? In other words,
Honestly, man, you've got
a headache coming on or something. Some people have a cup of coffee. Or some people feel like that the caffeine will get their blood flowing a little bit better so that they don't have that kind of a thing. Do you guys, any of that kind of stuff going down?
Weed helps with headaches because nothing, if you get like migraines, because nothing else really does, unless you're taking like oxys and you can do it, right? Take morphine. But I mean, just as a normal thing, like, I don't go smoke a bong hit, man.
I think for stomach cramps and for stomach issues, when I have those weed, I notice that immediately that gets rid of that.
One of the queens of England, Victoria, maybe, one of her big things, man, I guess she got real bad menstrual cramps, all right? But her go-to was weed. Like, once a month, it's like, look, she's in pain. They gave her weed, man. And I'm not saying she was right as rain, but she felt a lot better.
Okay.
I thought this commercial was about emotional pain. So I was going to say, masturbate, smoke weed, take a hot shower.
You masturbate for emotional pain?
Well, no. About the bad mood. It's a quick pick-me-up. You take a hot shower, then you smoke a bowl.
Okay. Does that make you physically feel better, though? Could you think that would work if you were in physical pain?
I don't know if
I'm so sad.
Yeah.
I just watched Old Yeller for the first time.
When you're sick, 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 do you guys get horny?
Oh, yeah, but I'm always horny.
No, I turn into a whiny little punk.
Oh, no, I get so goddamn horny. And like, you're sick. I'm like, I don't care. You don't have to kiss me.
Ella, hook me up.
I'm going to get this. No, you won't. Turn around.
I'm on the other side of that. Like, can you bring me some food? All right, leave me alone.
That's one way to kill a hangover, McDonald's. If I have pain, I know for a fact that a McDonald's, Coca-Cola, and a couple hamburgers are going to do me pretty well. Our reason we ask, how do you kill the pain? A new study out of the University of Greenwich, England, found that drinking two beers is actually better for pain relief than drinking a Tylenol. By the way, if you ever have any kind of beers, do not take Tylenol.
No.
Do not take any type of acetaminophen ever. Even if you had one glass of wine, the havoc that's being wreaked upon your liver is unbelievable. In their study, people who drank after a minor injury reported 25% less pain than people who took Tylenol. Researchers say that getting your blood alcohol level into the slightly drunk zone, quote, produces a small reduction of pain threshold.
Absolutely.
Moderate to large reduction in pain intensity. Kind of like if you're drunk and you don't feel the pain.
You get in the fist fight, you know, doesn't hurt till tomorrow.
Emails on the way from the men's room at mensroomlive.com. It's Miles at Thrill 99.9 KISW Seattle.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.